You are tuned in to Lightworkers Lounge, tales of having a human experience in a spiritual world.
Are you overwhelmed with all the transits of 2024 yet? Astrology, as I tell you guys, it's like learning a second language. And right now I'm using the app Duolingo to practice my Spanish. I'm getting so good at it. And it's awesome, but it makes me think of astrology, how it's also like a second language. I can knock it out with my Spanish tutor I used to have in 2020. I do good on this app, but place me in a setting where there are Spanish-speaking people, and I may be just like, whoa, hold on. I feel like astrology is that same way. And the more you practice it, the more you read, the more you learn about it, the more it'll stick. I found in astrology school that it really stuck when we would have these like four-hour intensive weekly study groups where 10 of us would be led by a mentor, and we would look at, say, Mars, our Mars placements for the week. And we would each go around and share what our Mars placement was and how it manifested in our life. Just hearing real-world examples was like, aha. But for me personally, and maybe it's my Scorpio moon, when I pulled up the charts of people I know very well, and I read it, it was like all the light bulbs went off to never turn off again. It was amazing. So this is going to be an episode very similar to the big 2024 Dawn of a New World astrology episode from the beginning of the year. But I want to break it down into questions, journal prompts. So as you listen to this, either hit pause when I give you the journal prompt for each transit, or just let it flow and just think about it in your mind. Depends on the time of day and where Mercury's at. Sometimes I love to handwrite and journal. Other times I like to type on my phone or my laptop. Other times I like to listen to things like this and just think out loud. Or just think to myself and process in the quiet of a car ride or, you know, cleaning the house. So with that said, we're going to go over all the big 2024 transits. And I'll give you a little secret on how to use the basic transits, which are your personal planets, the sun, the moon, Mercury, Mars, how to use all of those guys. You know, I kicked off last week's episode, the last podcast episode we have, saying that you need to use astrology. Don't let astrology use you, right? A good omen of how you can figure out if which way you're going with astrology is, do you wake up every morning and the first thing you look at is your horoscope? I know for me in school and with all the mentors I looked up to who were teaching me, they all did the same thing. We don't read our horoscope until the end of the day, right? You know, everyone wakes up, wants to grab their phone, read their horoscope. Or if you got a little self-discipline this Capricorn season, you wake up, you work out, drink your lemon water, whatever it may be for you. And then with your morning tea or coffee, you want to read your horoscope. Well, try flipping it backwards. Try reading your horoscope before bed to see, is this how the day manifested? What could I have done to steer my energy or work with the energy rather than against it to create a different outcome of the day? Does that make sense? Welcome to another episode of Lightworkers Lounge. I am your host and astrologer, Stephanie Powers. And we are going to get into it. There, I just threw my phone away. No noises, no distractions. So, 2024. Questions to ask yourself this year. Things to prepare for. Think of this podcast episode as sharpening your blade to battle 2024 and win the year. Ooh. The sun's transits. By now you guys know this. Every month, about every 28 to 30 days, I pop up with my Aquarius season. What it means, what to expect. Pisces season. What it means, what to expect. You guys love those episodes. They get downloaded like fire. That's awesome. I really, really love creating those too. Even though this is year two of doing those every month, I love it. And I learn more each time I do it because I'll pull up all these, gosh, I have such a collection, eclectic collection of astrology books. And I like to pull different ones out with each new season. So I'm learning more about the sign. You're learning more about the sign. It's awesome. So the sun's transits happen every month, right? And this is where you flow rather than paddle upstream. Now, of course, let's just use this example. It's Capricorn season. It's the season of work, create, produce. But if Capricorn season rules, say, your 12th house of isolation and meditation and retreat, you're not going to feel so much like you want to work, produce, get out there. Instead, this could be your season to do behind the scenes work. If you commit to a meditation practice every day, if you commit to paying for, showing up at a solo retreat just for you, that is working with the Capricorn energy. So of course, you need to take your own personal chart into it to get the exact type of horoscope for this energy. Everything you read and see on the internet is a very blanket statement. And this is why getting your chart read professionally is oh so important and so worth the investment. You guys know there's so many wonderful astrologers out there, but if you choose to resonate with me, I am at lightworkers-lounge.com. Click on birth chart readings. So when the sun moves into a new sign, follow that sign. The Capricorn season is work and self-discipline. That's all you need to know. If you know your personal chart, work and self-discipline in the area of life ruled by Capricorn. Coming up quicker than I imagined is Aquarius season. Think different. Change something. Think outside the box during this season. Take a new approach to your work and make more time for friends. We just had the holiday season, which is normally a lot of family, and then we got to get our butts back to work to pay bills and just be productive in society. Capricorn season. Well, when do your friends get to be put first? Aquarius season. So that's how you work with the sun's transits rather than against them. We could end the podcast episode right here because working with the sun is working with the vital force energy, the thing every planet orbits around. So pay attention to the sun's transits through the signs. Really get to know the signs. Not getting paid to say this, but one of my favorite books to understand the signs is, I mean, favorite books all around. Mine is so worn, I almost need to get a new copy. The Only Astrology Book You'll Ever Need by Joanna Woolfolk. It's thick as hell. It's like 600 pages, but it is amazing to flip to specific things you want to know about. And I just love her take on astrology. So next up is the moon. Who doesn't love the moon? I personally, and again, this is just my personal take on it, I think the moon is more important than your sun sign. Yes, we all need vitality. We need the sun to live. It is the core of our essence. But what else runs our life? Emotions, how we feel, how we react, how we perceive our emotional world. And so that's why I wrote a book called It's Just a Phase, Journaling with the Moon, because I personally believe that the moon's transits impact us even more than the sun, Mars, Venus, you name it. So the moon changes signs every 2.5 days. Oh, it's a big deal. It moves pretty quick, which means our emotions are also moving quick. I think we can all raise our hand when we say, do I have borderline personality disorder? How come I'm super happy one day, super depressed the next day? Why do I feel anxious today? Everything feels all right. And why do I feel high as a kite and just so happy and I love everyone and I've got all the patience in the world? I think sometimes we can say that's the moon playing tricks on you if you don't know. Think about it. When there's a full moon, ask any police officer, any teacher, any parent, any nurse, any doctor. Ask them how their shift goes around a full moon. No matter what their personal beliefs are, I imagine they will tell you, shit gets crazy. Shit gets crazy. People are wild during a full moon. And if you're really in tune, you might notice that around a new moon, people are emotional, quiet, sensitive, more introspective. So if you want to know more about the moon's transits, I highly suggest using an app. I like to use Time Passages or something where you can track the moon moving through the signs every 2.5 days to know what realm your emotions could be getting influenced by. As I record this, the moon is in Libra. Balance. Think of the word balance and also relationships, love. This is a good sky to go on a date under. This is a good sky to leave a quick love note to someone you're already in a committed relationship with. This is a good sky to ask someone out on a date or to look at the structure of the relationship you're currently in and see what needs to change to bring more balance, to make it fair for them and for me, right? So that's the moon. Get my book on Amazon. It's called It's Just a Phase, Journaling with the Moon. It's got a black book with little lines, a little gold lines of the constellations on the front. It's really pretty. By Stephanie Powers. Check it out. Mercury. Okay, he's a heavy hitter. So this is a big one for 2024 because Mercury has been going retrograde, as we most of us know what that means now. If you don't, hold on. But Mercury's been going retrograde in Earth signs for the past 2 years. We've really been thinking about money, finances, work. What do I want to do for work? How can I make more money? How can I budget my money better? Right? How can I ground myself more? Wow, the world's really anxiety-ridden. Well, how can I find grounding? Home. We're thinking of home and the stability at home. And in 2024, Mercury is going to go retrograde in fire signs this year and 2025. And so now here begins the journal prompts. When Mercury, planet of thinking, communication, how we mentally process things, when it goes retrograde in the sky, it doesn't literally go backwards, it just seemingly looks that way. We may be reassessing, rethinking, reevaluating things. And fire signs, this is how it goes. When Mercury goes retrograde in Aries, that's going to be this April, ask yourself, where am I afraid to stand up for myself? Who am I afraid to stand up for myself against? Why? Aries is all about saying no as a full sentence. Putting up boundaries as easy as oxygen. Aries has no problem taking charge and taking risks of their life. So when Mercury is in this sign and goes retrograde, why are you afraid to stand up for your life? Who are you afraid to point in their face and say, no, you can no longer talk to me like that. You can no longer do that. This is not for me. And if you love me, you'll respect this boundary. Conflict, right? Libras listening to this go, bitch, you crazy. When Mercury goes retrograde in Leo later this year, this will be around July, August, ask yourself or reassess, who makes me feel powerful? What type of interactions with people do I leave feeling so in my power, so good about myself? Look at the things you post on social media, whether it's a selfie or a reel you created. What post did you hit post on and you were like, I don't care who likes this. I just feel so good about how I look, the creativity that went into this. Think about those things. What did they have to do with? And when Mercury goes retrograde in Leo, who makes me feel insecure? So who makes me feel powerful and who makes me feel insecure? When Mercury goes retrograde in Sagittarius, wrapping up the year, November and December, ask yourself, is this who I really am? Am I living someone else's ideal of what a happy life should be, should look like, should feel like? Did I lose what I wanted my life to be, or is this what society tells me should be? Because oftentimes when we aren't rooted, right, you see how these work in tandem together? When we're not working with Aries energy, meaning we're not telling people no, we're not afraid, or we are afraid of the conflict or the reactions, adverse reactions coming from other people saying, what? No, you can't do that. You're not good enough for that. Our family doesn't do that. You'll never succeed in that. There comes the Leo. And then if you fall disempowered to those signs, you get to the final fire sign, Sagittarius, and you wake up and go, why am I miserable? Why do I have ADHD? Because I'm so nervous and jittery. What type of people have I been around? How this isn't how my life is supposed to go. How did I get here? Why am I walking into work at a place that has absolutely nothing to do with the character I want to develop? Mercury in Sagittarius. So Mars is the next personal planet, and you know, he moves throughout the signs all year. The Sun, the Moon, Mercury, Mars, Venus, these guys move through every sign throughout the year. They go around the zodiac wheel, all 12 signs. So their transits do affect you, but not nearly as much as the outer guys, Jupiter, Uranus, Neptune, and we'll talk about those. Saturn, hi Saturn return. But Mars, I spoke a ton about on the last podcast episode. So this is just where your energy, where your drive needs to be exerted right now. Today, actually, Thursday, January 4th, Mars moved into Capricorn. It is time to get back to work. You know, everyone just took off so much time for the holidays. And then even though it's January 2nd, it's like we're still in this fog and this Neptunian days of I don't feel ready to go back to work. I just want to sleep and work out at home and just get back to myself before I have to go out into society. Well, with Mars moving into Capricorn this Thursday, I imagine a lot of people are like, okay, let me stretch my legs and get ready to go back. Let me just get ready to tackle this year. And then as Mars furthers his progression into Capricorn this weekend, I bet by Monday, especially as the moon will be in Capricorn, oh, the new moon coming up, new moon in Capricorn on January 11th. I imagine people are like, all right, let's do it. Let's get back to it. Everybody's back on their game. So Venus, planet of love, value. Wherever Venus transits, invest in these areas of life, both your soul and your money, right? So again, look at your personal chart and look at the signs that she goes through. Move towards those areas to heal any love issues or any financial, because people don't remember that Venus rules money. And everybody wants to look at their chart and say, will I marry rich? Will I become rich? Will I struggle with money? It's a big thing next to love. Look at Venus. Now the big guys, the heavy hitters, Jupiter, Saturn, and Pluto. And we'll throw in a little bit of Neptune and Uranus. Jupiter, planet of good luck, abundance, miracles, but also expansion. And watch out for overdoing it. He's currently in Taurus, right? From now until May 24th of 2024, he is in Taurus. So a lot of people since May of 2023 have been thinking, how can I make more money? Maybe money has been an issue for you. Again, this all depends on Jupiter and your natal chart. But a lot of people are feeling the Jupiter pressure, the intensity of how big this guy is, of I want to do something I enjoy and I want to get paid well for it. Do you feel that Jupiter and Taurus push? A lot of people are looking at their diets. Okay, well, I was vegan. Maybe I'll try being paleo and omnivore. Or maybe I was big on eating meat and now I want to kind of swing back to vegan. Actually, you know what? I want to do a little bit of both. I just want to eat what's in season. I want to eat locally. And so with Jupiter and Taurus, collectively, we're thinking about what we value, especially when it comes to food and finances. Okay. In May, Jupiter will move into Gemini to begin a brand new year-long transit in the sign that rules thinking, speaking, networking, socializing. We could see more people come out of their shell and take a risk on making new friends and networking within their communities, especially with Pluto moving into Aquarius. But a lot of people are going to finally say, okay, the internet is taking off. We've got ChatGPT. We've got AI. Like, there's really no excuse not to utilize the internet and the far, far reach that you can get from it to make money doing something you love. It's fascinating to me to go on Etsy. I love Etsy. I love to support local artists and see what people are creating. My brother is a cat guy and he has four cats who he loves passionately. It is so cute to walk into his house and it looks like a cat cafe. It's so fun. He's an Aquarius rising and it shows. But I do this thing with his cats. I did it for his oldest. Now I'm doing it for his second oldest where I go on Etsy and I purchase this little canvas print of a photoshopped picture of the cat's face on this like royal imperial dressed body, and it's just like a framed royal family photo. They are so funny. They are his most prized possessions hanging on the wall in his living room. It's amazing. But as I just scroll through Etsy, it makes me smile so big to see people in Ohio, is where I ordered this one from, and Nebraska and Iowa, just in the middle of nowhere. And trust me, I've been to little towns in these states. I'm from Indiana. We've been through Illinois and Iowa and Ohio plenty of times. There's nothing. There's nothing but billboards telling you you're going to hell if you get an abortion and then pull off the next exit for some porn to watch if you're bored. It's so messed up. But there's nothing in these super hyper conservative small towns. It sucks. But you don't have to accept, well, this is my fate, this is where I live, because you can go on the internet now. You can go on Rover to be a pet sitter and make some side income. You can go on Etsy and sell something that you enjoy making and would do anyway. It's just fascinating. And with Jupiter moving into Gemini, I can see so many people finally making money doing something they love. This is also the sign of publishing, writing, poetry, right? Just taking the, I love Gemini symbol. It's truly my favorite. It's bridging heaven to earth. The top line is heaven, that little tunnel in between, connecting down to the hill at the bottom of the symbol to earth. And so during Jupiter and Gemini's transit, you could finally, if you've wanted to be a writer or an educator, bridge heaven to earth through your work. Oh, it's going to be so amazing. I'm excited for this, and I don't even have Gemini in my chart. Big on networking. Step out of your comfort zone to work on networking when Jupiter moves into Gemini. So a big journal prompt for Jupiter's move into Gemini is during the Jupiter and Taurus transit, what did I come up with for ways I want to earn money? What does my current diet look like? Am I happy with it? Could I eliminate or introduce some new foods to feel better? And journal prompts for when Jupiter moves into Gemini in May 2024. What is my relationship to friends and the community? Am I afraid to talk to new people? Why? What types of things am I learning about on the internet? When Jupiter moves into Gemini, you know, overstimulation. Let's not forget that Jupiter, even though he rules abundance, he's got a downside. He can go way overboard, do too much. He could be the planet of excess. So in Gemini, how many people am I following on the internet who are just blasting information at me? For me, it's been all about the health things. There are so many things that say vegan will make you live longer. And then other things that say paleo is the best way for autoimmunity. And then it's just like this ping pong table of contradicting information thrown at you from every angle. It can spin you out and really fry your nervous system. So during Jupiter in Gemini, it's less of a journal prompt and more of a go through your following list and unfollow some people that you don't resonate with anymore. And remember, especially here in Lightworkers Lounge, when you unfollow someone, it's not a negative thing. It's a boundary. Boundary. And Mercury's retrograde in Aries, what did we learn when we reassessed how we say no and how we unfollow people without worrying about them saying, hey, you don't like me anymore? It's like, I'm sorry, I didn't know we gauge our connectedness through the internet. I mean, I know it's a hit to your ego. When someone unfollows you, you automatically assume they hate me. They think I'm not creative. They think I'm boring. They think I'm ugly. They think... That will be something to reassess when Mercury goes retrograde in Leo in the middle of the year. Saturn and Pisces. You guys know Saturn is in Pisces. Saturn, planet of self-discipline, restriction. Pisces, the sign of arts, flowing, spirituality, mental health. Saturn and Pisces, collectively ask yourself, what am I addicted to? And how can I put boundaries up to have self-discipline with that vice? I think a lot of us answering that question can all raise our hand to who here is addicted to their phone? Who here is addicted to information? right? That Jupiter in Gemini. Are we addicted to information? Because you're going to reach a point to where you have all of the information. There is quite literally nothing else that you could possibly learn to help you make a decision, to help you better your life. Now, when Jupiter moves from Taurus into Gemini, you have no choice but to stop with the information and do. Go apply it. Go teach it to other people. But go use it. So Saturn in Pisces, what am I addicted to? And how can I put boundaries up to limit the addiction to this vice? And remember, whichever house in your chart that is ruled by Pisces is where you've got to do the things you don't feel like doing, but know you should. I love Saturn energy. My Saturn's in Capricorn. Maybe that's why I favor her. I love her. I know when you Google Saturn, there's all these like Vedic astrology things that say Saturn is the planet of karma and bad news and negative energy. And with all due respect to that cultural belief, I don't agree. I think Saturn is amazing and something that we can all harness. I can't wait for my second Saturn return if I am blessed to live that long. But wherever Saturn is transiting on your chart, roll your sleeves up. Say, all right, I don't feel like doing this, but I need to. Saturn's currently transiting my 11th house of friends, the community. I do struggle with friends, with reaching out to the community. I'm naturally a shores person in human design. Even though I'm a Sag and I have no problem striking up a conversation with anyone, I pour my soul and my eye contact and all of my energy into interactions. And so sometimes most of the time, I just don't feel like going out, putting myself out there. But when I do, oh, when I do, I feel so good. I love it. And so Saturn going through the 11th house, maybe this is you too, says, go make friends and go practice making friends. Go out there and meet new people, but practice what you learned through Saturn going through your 10th house and set boundaries with people that you're like, oh, they're lovely, but probably shouldn't spend too much time with them. Oh, that person was hilarious, but they have a little too many things they've got to iron out, and I'm trying to get to this point. If I kick it with them, it's definitely going to be some heavy baggage on moving into that. Even though I enjoy those belly laughs, I got to let them go and move forward, put up some boundaries there. So that's Saturn moving through the signs, where you've got to do the things you don't feel like doing, but know you should. So Neptune this year is at a very critical degree, the 29th degree, the final degree of Pisces. Ooh. Since 2012, Neptune has been in Pisces. And we talked about this on the 2024 astrology episode, but in a sense, basically to summarize it, we have been really diving into spirituality. Psychics, mediums, tarot, oracle, twin flames, soulmates. Have these things all not been huge since 2012? Well, now what? Now, this year, the one journal prompt I want you to ask about Neptune is, what are my beliefs about spirituality? All year, I want you to ask yourself, when you see 1111, when you see 222 on a license plate, when you ask for a sign and you receive it, and it's very blatantly a sign for you, do you believe it and act on it? Do you not believe in those things at all anymore? Are you completely unfollowing everybody who talks about divine this, spiritual that? What is your relationship to spirituality? And how are you going to utilize it moving forward? I wrote this down in my notes about this. Ask yourself, who or what do I pray to? When shit gets hard and you are thinking, oh my gosh, I cannot believe I'm going through this, or I cannot believe this just happened. I'm in shock. And you know, it's like, are we praying to God? Are we praying to Jesus? Are we praying to Allah? Like, who are we talking to? What energy do you imagine when you just need someone to help you out, phone a friend on this dense earth sometimes? That is Neptune and Pisces question. Now, Uranus, I didn't write down in my notes. He's still got a bit of ways to go through Taurus, but basically, whichever house in your chart is ruled by Taurus is where you can expect radical change, where you're expected to rebel, do things different, shock the people. Right? And with Uranus and Taurus, have we not seen shocking revelations in our food system? My God, go to the grocery store here in America and everything is gluten-free, dairy-free, soy-free, grain-free, corn-free, meat-free. It's like, what? And all of a sudden you walk into the deli and you look at all the meats and the processed meats, the sausages, the steaks, and you realize this is all fake. This is all made of soy and vital wheat gluten. This looks so real. This is shocking. Uranus and Taurus. And, you know, Taurus rules the financial system. So we have definitely had some shocking revelations with that. Not going to get too heavy into politics. That's not what we do here in Lightworkers Lounge. But wherever Uranus is, he's in Taurus, right? Drastically switch up the way you make money. Drastically switch up where you invest your money. Taurus also rules land. And although Cancer rules home, Taurus and Cancer really love their personal space and where they live. It is oh so important to the well-being of these guys. And so through this transit, maybe all of a sudden you're a mountains person when everyone has known you as a beach person. Let yourself be shocked by these Taurian themes. Last but not least, Mr. Pluto in Aquarius, the man of the hour for all of 2024. I am honestly, guys, I am so anxious to see how Pluto moving into Aquarius pans out, especially this year. We astrologers are like storm chasers. You know when there's a big hurricane forecasted to hit the coast and storm chasers and meteorologists are doing all their calculations and they're staying up all night measuring the dew point, the wind speed, the temperature, the pressure, and they're just antsy on their seat like, okay, this is either going to be a cat 2 and do a little bit of damage or this puppy's going to blow up into a cat 5 and Godspeed to anybody who's still there and didn't evacuate, right? It's kind of like that with Pluto and Aquarius, only the shore is the internet and the collective and the community as a whole. And we astrologers are watching this guy, Pluto, just kind of dance and straddle between the fence of Capricorn and Aquarius going, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? He dipped his toes into Aquarius in March of 2023. How was that month? ChatGPT, AI came out. That shit was so weird. And you guys know, my body immediately rejected it. I was just like, yep, no, hard pass. Soft launch right out the door, get out. But now I'm kind of like, okay, hold on. Like, this could really help me with website design, with creating posts for social media. Like, hold on, I'll gently reopen the door and take a little peek. But it's like they just hard launched those things onto us, and we were like, wait, we're still learning how to have boundaries with social media. Why you gotta throw that tidal wave on us? But we're watching it. Oh, we got our eye on you. Pluto and Aquarius, I wrote down the question, why don't you go to a local farmer's market? Why don't you go? I've already been. I know what's there and I don't need to buy anything. So what? Go and talk to people who are selling local things. Go and meet people in your community. Why aren't you doing that? Well, Steph, I live in a place that doesn't have a farmer's market. Okay, why don't you start one? What's wrong with that? Who do you have to go to say, hey, can I start a farmer's market? Even if it's just me at a table, just saying, welcome to the farmer's market, donate a dollar, do the proceeds, and put it all towards an animal shelter. Like, why not? What is stopping you from doing that? I need to answer that myself, but I thought that was a very Pluto and Aquarius question. In 5 years from now, what do you think your relationship to the internet will be? As more and more ChatGPT, AI, all these, I think we're already to the point on the internet where we don't know what's real or what's fake. I mean, that shit is good. I love Taylor Swift, huge fan. I loved her before it was cool. Gotta say that. And so my search page is full of Taylor Swift stuff. And it is disturbing. Some of the things I see are her and Travis Kelce holding a baby, and it like genuinely looks like her and him holding a baby that looks like a combination of them. And I'm like, what the? I tap on it. It's AI. And then I saw a reel started playing on my search page of a Taylor Swift music video. And I was like, hey, I've never seen this music video. I don't miss a beat with my girl, my Sedge sister. What is this? And I'm like, I have never seen her in this music video. And it looked as real as the sunrise. I was like, wait, huh? So I tapped on the comments and people were saying, is this AI? What is this? I've never seen this. You know, other Swifties. And people were like, yes, it's AI. Somebody pulled an outfit she wore at this event, and then other people from other music videos, Selena Gomez from one of her music videos, and created a separate music video for a song that she never created a music video for. And I was like, oh my God, the average person who's not hyper observant, like your Scorpio Moon girl over here, would never notice. They would think that Taylor herself made that video and directed it and created it. And my heart just broke because I thought about kids on the internet who have no idea. Their brains are not developed yet to have that observance to know what's real or fake. And then I thought of the artists. I thought of Taylor. I thought of all the artists out there who are creating real art, music videos, and people are just gonna tangle it up with AI and make it something that is not theirs. You know how you can use music on reels on Instagram? I have watched so many reels where I'm like, oh, this is such a sick remix or an acoustic version of the song. Well, then the acoustic version of the song by someone completely different than the original artist goes fire, gets all these downloads, and the original artists who poured their heart and soul and creativity into hours of production work, mastering notes, they get no credit. They get none. And it's like Saturn and Pisces is going to take care of that, right? I got my fingers crossed for them, but man, starving artist is a phrase for a reason. I can't wait to see what pans out. All right, you guys, sun is setting. I got to take old Jeffrey the pug here for a walk. Thank you. Yes, you. He just tilted his head in true pug fashion. Thank you guys for being here. I really look forward to spending time with you on the airwaves for all of 2024. I would absolutely love nothing more than to read your birth chart. So go to lightworkers-lounge.com. Click on birth chart readings. If you're overwhelmed by the 6 or 7 we have to offer, send me an email. It's spowers@lightworkers-lounge.com. My email's all over the website. Let me know. Steph, I want to get a reading. I don't know which one to pick. And we'll talk. We'll figure it out. All right? And be sure to use your podcast listener discount code. You guys get a special. Use code gratitude because I'm thankful for you. I'll see you on Zoom or I'll see you next podcast episode. Sending love from Texas. Bye.